Finish up the study today of caring for the caregiver, facing the challenges with understanding and strength by Michael Emlett. Just very briefly, previously we looked at seeing that the one that receives care as being made in God's image, who faces physical and spiritual challenges. And then secondly, the one that gives care is also made in God's images, that also faces physical and spiritual challenges. We're going to focus today on the caregiver and to think of some very practical steps following the author's main bullet points. I'm going to elaborate on those. He calls the first practical strategy in giving caring for the caregiver, he titles it this: get ready, get set, be still. Kind of a clever way to get your attention. You're thinking that he's going to encourage you to charge into action, and that there's these three things that you can do to care for the caregiver. And the very first thing that he urges is that the one giving care would take care of themselves spiritually, and to come alongside and to help someone who is giving care. One of the best things that you can do is to help them spiritually and to help them to be still before the Lord. If you haven't discovered this, it is physically taxing and spiritually taxing to care for someone who is in hospital or has been laid up or is aging or caring for children, all those categories that we've looked at before. And if you've been involved in it or are involved in it right now, you might think that you don't have any time left in your day whatsoever. In fact, you might have found that the quiet times that you may have once enjoyed have gone by the wayside. And you might think that there's no time left in your day for anything like this. But I've talked about how important it is, and I want to expand on that to say that what you might not have time for is still very important, and it may be that it just takes a different form than you're used to, but that you should still practice a time of drawing near to God to find help. In fact, that's the verse that I especially highlighted to you last week. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Well, that admits that there's a time of need and that there is also a help that is offered. And part of that help is to draw near and to find rest, especially spiritually, in the Lord. So Emlett says that your devotions might take on a different look than you have once enjoyed or that you might have expected. He just gives for example, maybe you spent 30 or 40 minutes each morning in reading your Bible and studying, meditating on that, and with a really sweet time of fellowship with the Lord in prayer during that time. And you might think that now that pressing need has risen up, you might think, I don't have that kind of time, and if I can't have that kind of time, then what good is it? And you might come to what I would suggest would be a wrong conclusion, that if you can't have what you had before, that nothing is better than that. Well, something is better than nothing. And God has promised to meet with you, and He knows the needs that you're going through. And sometimes there is a sweetness of fellowship as you're led by still waters, Psalm 23 describes. And that has that idea of a quietness and a peacefulness and a meditativeness that that has an extended period. But he also says he prepares a table in front of your enemies, and he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. And those are not times that you're camping out and having sweet times. But God still promises to lead, to guide, and to meet with. So just because it's different, or just because it takes a different form, don't conclude that you won't be blessed. Instead, still take time to meet with the Lord, and instead of of one long quiet time, one practical idea would be to scale way back and to say, I this is what I honestly think I have time for, and I'll pray that the Lord will meet with me 10 minutes today. I'll read a chapter and I'll pray as I do that. Or if there are, if you don't have one single time during the day to find snatches of time throughout the day when you can have that time to read and to pray. Maybe that you have a little time at morning, or then another 5 or 10 minutes at over lunchtime, and that you take time to meet with the Lord. Another practical aspect is what the author calls ongoing dependent prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Have you ever meditated on that a little bit to try to figure out just what that looks like? I do think that we misunderstand prayer if we make it out only to be the well thought out, structured prayer that we've grown used to from our ruling elders here in our congregation. We have really good prayers that are offered, well thought out and full of scripture, all of those things. I've got the silence here for me. Beth Covington, I want to call her back. Prayer can be the urgent cry of someone in need that is the cry out. And I've thought more and more about the idea of having an ongoing conversation through the day with God. That has it's appropriate at times to have have a sense of drawing into the awesome presence of the Lord, and our prayers sometimes reflect that. But I think it's also wise and proper to think of a conversation with the Lord as ongoing, and that the dependence that we have on Him as leading to that and urgency in that. Another aspect of stillness is the practical strategy is to cultivate thankfulness. When you're caring for others, your soul may be so weighed down that you lose sight of God's goodness. And so make sure that you act against the temptation to become bitter over your situation by cultivating thankfulness. I'll open that up to you. What are some things you can do to cultivate thankfulness?
Some people make a list of their blessings.
Sure, yeah.
Sometimes it's, when they can't think of anything, they can look at the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Choosing to be thankful too. Not just cultivating, but choosing a purposeful thankfulness.
It is a specific choice. It's a conscious choice that you make to of where you turn your mind. We talked about the internal battles that often are involved in a number of different sins. You could contentment, anger, peacefulness. And here's another one, thankfulness. You're deliberately turning your mind away from meditating on disappointments or hardship or places where you think you've been mistreated to turn to think about how you are thankful and how God has blessed you. A couple other very practical ways that you can be still before the Lord. We have amazing technology right now, so that in your pocket you can take hours upon hours of sermons to listen to, of psalms that you can sing along with, of Christian music and programming that is easily accessible to you. It is very accessible and something that you can fill your time and your heart with. It's something that you can also, if possible, you can involve the person that you're caring for. You can draw them into that. And that includes those who are seemingly unresponsive. It is merciful, and I think a ministry to those who are seemingly unresponsive physically, to read scripture, to play music, to sing, so as to minister to their mind and to their soul. So even if they seem incapable of responding, still try to draw them in. And if they are capable of responding, all the more reason to draw them in. And then finally, ask for help from family or from the church, so that on a regular basis you can participate in worship. It may be that there are times that the church can come alongside and provide people that can be in your place if someone needs to be there with the one you're caring for, so that the one giving care can come to church on a regular basis, or the church can get involved in visiting the one who is being cared for, and at the same time minister to the one who is caring. I only finished the first point, so I have to stop. I've got four more. So. The subject is very good, and I hope it's helpful to you. I know that we each have different levels of that we're helping others, and we want to be an encouragement to each other. I'm going to invite us to bow in prayer as we close. Lord, this is such a good subject, and we pray that you would be granting us grace as we care for others. And Lord, I also pray that we would not lose sight of our own relationship to you in the midst of caring for someone else. Lord, gently or even firmly take hold of us and get our attention if necessary, that we have left off caring for our own souls. And I also pray, God, that you would help us as a body of believers to come alongside those who are hurting and those who are caring for others, and to encourage in these ways too. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.